We've been talking for the last few weeks about discipleship teams, a new name for actually some old things that we've got here, some existing tools. The idea of discipleship teams is that we are wanting to better focus our Sunday schools, our small groups, our ministry teams, to be more engaged in doing what Jesus asked us to do, and that is to go and make disciples, to be a disciple-making church. And so in these three teams, Sunday schools, small groups, and ministry teams, they use elements. All three of those teams use elements. And we're wanting to better home, better focus those elements to be able to help us to accomplish our vision statement. And those elements are Bible study, fellowship, and service. Bible study, fellowship, and service, they all show up in our Sunday school. They all show up in our small groups, and they all show up in our ministry teams. Or service and fellowship, definitely in the ministry teams, but it wouldn't be a difficult thing at all to add in a little bit of Bible study and to say the worship team before they practice or before they have the planning meetings or our greeters. It wouldn't be a difficult thing at all for them to be able to meet just a little bit before the service and share just a devotional thought, an inspirational verse, something from God's word to give them, you know, a little more sustenance to what they're doing. And so if we can incorporate these three elements that are already part of these different teams and better focus it to fulfill our vision statement. Last week, I didn't have room for the vision statement. I put it back in there this week. So at the top of the sermon section, you can see our vision statement there, that we want to be a church that's connected to the heart of Christ, visibly connected to the heart of Christ, through taking hope to our community. And we're going to do that through serving, transforming, and reproducing. And that's all summer long we've been talking about our vision statement. In the last few weeks, the last 9 weeks of our summer, we're talking specifically about serving, transforming, and reproducing. So the first 3 weeks of this series, we talked about how these discipleship teams, to be more active in making disciples, how they can serve. We talked about how they can, and that Bible study, service, and fellowship should all result in service. Bible study, fellowship, and service should all result in transforming. And that's what we spent the second third on. And then in our third third, which is where we're at now, we're talking about how Bible study, fellowship, and service should all result in reproducing more disciples. And so last week we talked about service, how service should reproduce disciples. Today we're talking about how fellowship should reproduce disciples. And we're going to be camping out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So if you want to go there in your paper Bibles, we have Bibles in the pew in front of you. If you want to go there in your digital Bible, you can turn there. I will be including a bunch of different other scriptures, be doing what I call Bible hopscotch. But the main focus, if you just want to leave it there in 1 Thessalonians. And I'm going to read that passage in whole, and then we're going to break it apart as we venture through our passage today. So verse 4 starts off, it says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." So for the first little bit today, we're going to be zeroing in on just one little sentence in verse 5 of that passage we just read. And that's just going to get started. The second half of verse 5, it's one little sentence, and we'll put it back up on the screen here. And it says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." Just kind of pick up on that. Sometimes it's easy to read over certain things in Scripture. And I want us to kind of highlight this. And if you like to underline in your Bible or highlight or whatever, if you're using a digital Bible or a YouVersion, and you can highlight in there, you might want to bring some emphasis to this for a few weeks as you're studying. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul understood the responsibility that he had while he spent time with the Thessalonians, while he spent time in Thessalonica. He was responsible to provide an example of what a follower of Christ was, what a disciple looked like, what a disciple acted like, what a disciple talked like, what the way a disciple's mind had been transformed, how a disciple's mind thought, the way a disciple's heart beat, the compassion that a disciple has in their heart for others. This was not just God's calling on Paul. It wasn't just Paul that was supposed to live like this or act like this or be like this. What it was Paul recognized what the life that God expects of all Christians, that we should take responsibility to be an example. So let's write this down. We are responsible to demonstrate an example for others to see and follow. We are responsible to just demonstrate an example for others to see and follow. Like it or not, people watch you. People watch me. People watch all of us. Their eyes are on us, especially once they find out that you're a Christian. Once they understand that you've got, you know, you claim that Jesus is Lord, boy, they watch you tight. And that can be tough. The spotlight's on. They watch the choices you make. They watch the attitude that you live with. They see how you treat other people. They see what's important to you by where you spend your time and where you spend your money. And these are people all around, from as close as your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, the people you live around. Paul says in this little sentence, he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. We live among a lot of different people. So let's write this down. I will influence those I live among. We will have an influence on those we live among, those we live around. Recognize it or not, the truth is you will. We should recognize it because we need to understand we have people that we influence. We have people that are looking to us. And we should be an influence to those around us, shouldn't we? And Jesus said, he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they place it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are to be an influence. We are to let our light shine. People should look at us. People should be able to look at us. And we should be aware of that. Paul was conscious. Paul was very conscious of how he lived because he knew that they were watching him. He knew that there was a responsibility of the influence that he had. He knew that there was an influence they were watching and he was responsible. And he was responsible to demonstrate an example of what a disciple looked like, an example for others to see and to follow. He wanted to provide an example to follow. When we acknowledge the influence that we have on those around us, then we must also acknowledge the responsibility that comes with that influence. So let's write that down. Acknowledging the influence acknowledges the responsibility. To acknowledge one, you have to acknowledge the other. If you come to the understanding, the realization, wow, I do have an influence on those around me. I do influence the people in my house. I influence the people that I work with. I influence my neighborhood, my neighbors that I live with, the people that I rub shoulders with. Then once you realize that you have influence, then you have to realize, you have to acknowledge that there's a responsibility with that influence. We have to be responsible with that. We will influence those around us, those we live among. We have the responsibility to be an example to them. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, join with others in following whose example? My example. Some people read this and they think, man, that's awful bold for Paul to say that. Join with others in following my example. Why isn't he pointing them to Christ? Why is he pointing them to himself? Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. See, every one of us should live in such a way that we can encourage others to follow our example. We should live a life that's worth following. The pattern that we show through our life, it should be a pattern worth repeating. If it's not, then we got some things to adjust. We of all people should have a pattern that we can give to others and say, live by this pattern. It's a good one. Live by this example. It's a good one. Paul saw the influence that he had on others. He took responsibility to be that example, so much that he could say, follow my example. He lived deliberately to be that example. And we know that he did this. We just read in Philippians. We read in Thessalonians. So we know that he did it in Philippi. He did it in Thessalonica. We're going to read later that he did it in Corinth. So this seems to be a pattern of Paul. It seems to be a making of a part of the makeup of the way he thinks, the way he looks at life, his worldview. And he did this for their sake. Back to that one little sentence that we're kind of zeroing in on here at the beginning. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You know, we would do well to adopt this for ourselves. Let's write this down. I must live to deliberately be an example to those I influence. I must live to deliberately be an example to those I influence. See, because it won't happen if you just leave it to chance. It won't happen if you're not consciously engaged in this deliberate understanding, this intentional understanding of I have an influence on others and I need to deliberately be an example that they can follow. There's a reason why disciple and discipline are very similar words. It takes discipline to be a disciple. It takes discipline to make the decisions and to have the heart of a disciple. To live by that example that people can look to us and say, there's a city on a hill. There's a light on a lamp. There's an example I can follow. There's a pattern that I want to emulate with my life because it's a healthy pattern. Ephesians 5, Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as what? Wise. Making the most of some opportunities. Making the most of every opportunity. You don't do that without it being deliberate, without it being intentional. You don't make the most out of every opportunity. When you let your mind kind of fade, you miss out on so many different opportunities. And I know that I've done it, and I believe that you've done it, you know, and with your kids, with your spouse, with other family members, with friends, with neighbors, whatever. Just life moments. And when you kind of let yourself shut off a little bit, you miss out on something. And it causes, you have to be deliberate in your relationships. So Paul says, don't be unwise, be wise, be very careful then how you live. We must live deliberately. We must live with intent, with the understanding that we will influence those that we live among. And we have a responsibility for those that are in our circle of influence. Now, some of us are uncomfortable with the idea of consciously living in such a way that others can follow our example. Some of us think that Paul was maybe too bold in being able to say that, follow my example. And some of us are saying, I'm not a leader. That's not me. And I do. I agree. There are some people that are gifted as leaders. There's a spiritual gift. There's a natural gift. But we still all have the responsibility to be an example. And if you're an example, some are going to follow you, and that makes you a leader in some capacity. If it's your children or just a few close friends, and they look to your example and they follow you, that's what a follower is, or a leader is. A leader has followers. In order to provide a good example, some of us might feel like there's a weight on there, that's a tremendous burden. It's really fairly simple, at least on paper, is that really all we need to do is imitate God. If we want to be a good example, we imitate God. That's earlier in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. So we imitate God and we imitate Jesus. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So let's write this down. If we imitate God, then others can imitate us. Correct? So it takes the pressure off a little bit. We don't have to create it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. All we do is we imitate God. We follow God. We do what we sung about earlier. I follow the sun, our opening song, right? That was the first one, right? And I follow the sun. That's what we do. We imitate God, we imitate the sun. We imitate God, we follow in the same pattern, the life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I mean, regardless if anyone's following you or not, or if you're an example to anyone or not, isn't that what we should be doing anyway? I mean, putting everyone else aside, aren't we supposed to be as Christians? Isn't that our responsibility? Is just to follow Christ? As a disciple, that's what a disciple is, to follow Christ, to imitate God. Now you add in this understanding that we have an influence among the people that we live among. We have a responsibility to that. That adds even more importance to living a life that is deliberately imitating God. Because if we imitate God, then others can imitate us. Back in our main text, we see this show up also. I'm going to reread that verse that we just took a moment and broke down. Second half of verse 5 says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord." You see that? Paul lived deliberately among them. "We lived this way for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of" who? "And of the Lord." So let's write this down. So, others imitate us, and then in turn, imitate Jesus. Actually, I don't think that had any blanks in your bulletin, so you don't have to write anything down there. So others imitate us, and we in turn imitate Jesus. If we're imitating God, if we're following Jesus, then we should be safe to imitate, shouldn't we? We should be able to be as bold as Paul was and say, "Follow my example. Imitate me. Follow the patterns I have in my life." If we follow Jesus, we should be a safe person to follow. In our influence, in the lives of those around us, it should lead them closer to Christ. That should be what our example does. If they follow us, they become imitators of us. The goal then is that they would become imitators of the Lord. And that would make sense. If I'm an imitator of Jesus and they imitate me, then in essence, they would imitate him. And sooner or later, you'd be able to kind of move out the middleman a little. Although there's still, we're going to get to that in a little bit about how we're always influencing each other. And that's part of what the church is about. And we could say, as Paul said to the Corinthians, this is where I told you we would see that Paul lived this way in Philippi, he lived this way in Thessalonica, and he also lived this way in Corinth. He tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So they can follow my example if I follow Jesus. Very simple. They can follow my example if I follow Jesus. I'll let you guys get that written down. And then we're going to return to Thessalonians, that first chapter. And we're going to see where this turns the corner into becoming a reproducing chapter, a reproducing passage rather, talking about how we reproduce disciples, how we reproduce others. We're going back up, and I'll catch us back up on the verse that we've read a few times now. "You know how we lived among you for your sake," deliberate living. You know, Paul was very conscious about the influence he had. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord," so they get a chance to follow Christ or follow Paul, which led them to following Christ. Imitating Paul caused them to imitate Jesus. And then watch what happens in verse 7. It says, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." See how it grew? It grew exponentially. It grew huge from one guy, Jesus, to another guy, Paul, to a church in Thessalonica, to a whole region there of Macedonia and Achaia. "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." That's a big deal. And I want us to understand, pick up on that. That's reproduction. That's reproducing disciples. That's reproducing people to that same heart and the actions of Jesus Christ. All because of this idea of modeling. Paul even uses that word here. He says, "You became a model." So tough not to break into a little Right Said Fred. And okay, so some people remember that song. Those who were influenced by Paul, they then went on to influence others. Those who looked to Paul as a model, they themselves became a model to others. And that's the goal. That's what we want to see happen. Those who followed Paul's example because Paul followed Christ. He had others who followed them, not just because they followed Paul, but more importantly, because they followed Christ. And so these people in Macedonia and Achaia that were reached by the Thessalonians, they weren't just following the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians were connecting them to Christ. And that's the way the stitch moves, isn't it? We create an example, a deliberate example, an understanding of the people that we influence and understanding the people around us. We live an example for them. We connect them into that. We connect them to Christ. Then as they branch out and they become an example, they become a model for people to look at, to live by, then what do? They connect people to Christ. We see this kind of upward stitch happening. As we reach out and connect them to Christ, then they can reach out and connect them to Christ. I'm going to write that down to finish up our notes there. Then they become examples for others to see and follow. Disciples reproduce other disciples. And this happens through modeling, through being an example to others. So fellowship among disciples, it should result in reproducing more disciples. Now, what we've talked about so far, I want to make a bridge here in a minute, but I don't want to negate what we've talked about so far. We have an influence among those that we live around on a natural basis. Our home, our neighborhood, our coworkers, whatever your circle of influence is, you have that. You're always going to have that. When we tie this into discipleship teams and this idea of making discipleship teams more deliberate, more function on making disciples, when we have a smaller group of people in a discipleship team, like a Sunday school, a small group, a ministry team, and the focus of those groups have been refocused just a little more to making disciples, specifically to our subject today, to reproduce disciples because of the fellowship that you have. Then when you're in a Sunday school, in a small group, in a ministry team, and the focus there is, part of it is that we are, in our fellowship, being an example to one another, helping to lead one another closer to Christ, helping to inspire one another closer to Christ. And that also gives some accountability when you know that people are looking at you, especially on this level, you know, when we're intimate with each other and we're sharing with each other, then it's a transparent, you know, because then they see your successes and your failures. But what rings true through that is this authentic relationship with God, and we want to keep that. And in our smaller groups, if we're deliberately doing that, if we're deliberately creating an environment where we are being examples for each other, purposefully to connect people to Christ, then you've got a group that's already formed with this deliberate idea in mind. And then outside in your circles, if a family member or a coworker or a neighbor, and you've been building these relationships and you've been responsible with the influence and they want to get more connected, they want to follow more your example, your pattern, and your pattern is meeting with a smaller group of people that are disciple-making group, then it wouldn't be so much easier to invite them into a group and know that the purpose of that group is to help grow them into a disciple. Because it's helping us all to grow and to be better disciples. To know, okay, I've got this person, what do I do with them next? Because that's some of the thought with some of us when we get to a point in our relationship with someone that we've been sharing with, we've been an example to them. All right, what do I do next? How do I move it to the next step here? Well, if you're part of a group that specifically was involved in that type of moving and that type of mentoring among each other, then you bring them on in. And last week, as we talked about service, maybe you have a service project that you're doing together and you invite them into that, and then maybe they'll come back and join your group some night, someday, whenever you meet, because they've gotten a chance to get to know some people on a service project. And they do this and then they join in the fellowship and they get a chance to see what it's like to grow, to have an example, to see that it's not just you, but they've got 10, 12, 15 other people there in that group that are all trying to live following this example. And you see how that can produce disciples. It's just taking what we've already got and just refocusing it just a little bit. And we could we can deliberately affect not only our own lives, but deliberately affect others as we invite them in. And we can do this through our discipleship teams, through Sunday schools, through small groups, through ministry teams. And so I want to encourage you to be thinking about these things and how you can implement these into your small groups, into your discipleship teams, so we can be better at what Jesus asked us to be, and that is to be a disciple-making church.